Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Morning, it's the John Osterlund Morning Show.
Wake up.
So on Tuesday, it was the midterm elections. And on Wednesday, a judge who got beat the day before on Tuesday, a judge in Texas, released nearly all the defendants in front of him because he lost the election. And he said that must be what people in this state want.
Can you do that?
Well, he's a Republican judge. His name is Glenn Devlin, and he had the reputation in Texas about it. His reputation was you didn't want to go in front of that judge. You're going to end up in locked away behind bars.
Right.
So that was his reputation.
He used to call that the hanging judge.
Yeah. That was his reputation for a long time. And this is Harris County. That's Houston, right? And so the day after he lost the midterm election, the Wednesday morning, he went into work. He went to sit behind the bench. And he's a juvenile court judge. He asked all of the juveniles in front of him, are any of you going to kill anybody? They all shook their head no. And he released them all. He let them all go. And then he went on to say, after last night's midterm election, this is obviously what the people of not only Texas, but of Harris County, Texas, my county here, this is what they want. And so now, after he did that, there's people over there trying to round up these juveniles. They're trying to go get all of these youths. Quote, we oppose the wholesale release of violent offenders at any age. This could endanger the public, said the district attorney of Harris County, Texas, Kim Ogg. And again, the judge, Glenn Devlin, said, I lost last night. You know who I am. You know my reputation. You know what I do. Obviously, the majority of the people in this county don't want me here anymore. They don't want me to do what I do anymore. So if none of you that are standing in front of me right now, if none of you plan on leaving this courtroom and going to kill anybody, I'm going to release you.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No.
That'd make a great movie, the story of this judge. He gets voted out, so he empties the jails.
One public defender who was there said he saw only one prisoner kept in detention. Maybe he shook his head the wrong way. But all the rest of them were released, and they all walked out the front door of the courthouse.
Right. Well, he's the one that said, are you going to kill anyone? And he was kind of like, nah, he wasn't sure.
One of the public defenders there, Steve Halpert, said, quote, he was releasing everybody. Apparently he was saying that's what the voters wanted, so that's what they're going to get. And this judge, Glenn Devlin, he was one of those judges that you never wanted to stand in front of, but I guess he had just had it when he saw it either before he went to bed or when he woke up the next morning when he realized he voted out.
I'm trying to dissect this in my mind. If these offenders are incarcerated, are they awaiting trial?
They were either awaiting trial or they were awaiting sentencing, or they were at some point during their criminal justice stay, they were at some point during there. But it didn't matter to this judge because he lost the night before in the midterm election.
Right, but all right, so are we to assume that the judge was responsible for the sentences or the reason why all of these people are incarcerated, which is probably not, I mean, Harris County, it's part of the Woodlands and Houston, and it's like the fifth largest city in the country,
big.
Somewhere like that?
Very big, yeah.
What I'm getting at is that how can the judge how can the judge come in and just start emptying jails?
Well,
under I'd like to see the case law that he cited in his own mind. And I'm not trying to be funny here. I just find this fascinating.
Again, he's a juvenile court judge. He went to work Wednesday. He had a bunch of juveniles in front of him, and he let every one of them go except for one because he lost in the midterm election.
But could a judge here go to the lockup and say, okay, let him out? Wouldn't the officers on duty, would they have to comply?
Well, he was still the judge. This wouldn't start until January 1st, even though he was voted out the night before.
I get that, but...
This was his courtroom. These were his juveniles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are we to assume that they're all incarcerated because of him, because of having passed through his jury room?
Well, until January 1st, 2019, all of these juveniles, they were his responsibility.
All right, we're going to have to fire up the bat signal. If you know the answer to this, and again, my question is, can a judge, under common circumstances, go to lockup and demand a prisoner or multiple prisoners to be released? Tweet us at Bayou957, or you can send a message on Facebook or Brewster at Bayou957.com. Because I'm really fascinated by this. Could this happen anywhere?
Most of the juveniles, Brewster, were waiting for their cases to be decided. And so they were in their cases. They were at some point along the way of their juvenile sentencing, of their juvenile case being heard.
Right.
And he wasn't going to hear any of it anymore.
Let's say you're a turnkey and you're working at that particular jail, and the judge comes in and says, "Okay, let him go." Are you going to be aware that the judge has the providence to do that? Are you going to say, "Okay, judge, here they are"?
If that's how the law works, he's still the judge of that courtroom for another month and a half.
Well, if you know, send us a message if you really, I'm curious about this, if you really know how this works, like what the procedure would be. I love the question, though. Are you going to kill anyone? Nah, okay, you're out.
Except for one person.
The one guy.
I don't know.
Like,
he didn't hear him properly, or I don't know.
Well, I know. He shrugged his shoulders, and it's like, not letting you out, buddy.
But some of the lawyers in there, they all were quoted saying none of them had ever seen anything like this before. And then
I've never heard of a situation like this. That's why I'm so so curious to get somebody with actual knowledge of it.
Well, Texas juvenile court judge Glenn Devlin of Harris County, Texas, obviously not happy that he was voted off the bench the night before. That's what he did when he went into work the next morning.
Off the bench, and as we say in our industry, he's now on the beach looking for work.
2 days ago on Wednesday, that happened over there. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Boy, you know, the Saints and Saints fans are probably thinking going into last night's game that the Carolina Panthers were the biggest competition that they'd have for the second half of this NFL season in their division. And the Carolina Panthers embarrassed themselves last night. They gave up 52 points to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Pittsburgh whooped them 52-21. And, you know, people were saying Carolina's hot. You know, they've got a winning streak. But, again, an embarrassing performance by the Carolina Panthers last night.
The Steelers put up, and I know part of it was a turnover, but the Steelers put up 14 points in their first 14 seconds on the field. It was great.
Yeah.
Somebody who hates Cam Newton, as I do.
Yeah, Carolina, again, an embarrassing performance last night.
And why is Cam Newton still in there when it's up you know, they're up by, Pittsburgh had already scored their 52 points by then.
Yeah, it was a blowout. And look, the Saints at halfway point of the season, and I was looking at the ESPN power rankings. They're number one in the NFL, the Saints. Now, look, there's still a half a season to go. But the other teams in their division, I mean, Tampa's not good. Carolina embarrassed themselves. Atlanta got off to a horrible start. They're trying to turn it around. But the Saints look like they're the cream of that division this year. Again, there's still half a season to go. There's still eight games to go. Things are looking bright here in New Orleans. Hey, I wanted to bring this up because a couple of days ago, 85-year-old Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg fell down, and she broke three ribs on her right side. And she went to the hospital, and it looks like she's going to be okay. I mean, anytime an 85-year-old falls down and breaks any bones, it could be serious.
It's not news, but it could be serious.
She's a pretty tough woman. She beat colon cancer, and she beat pancreatic cancer. And she should be able to beat this. You know, the people that don't like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they have some names for her. I mean, she is the closest thing to a communist we have on the Supreme Court. I mean, if you think about it, she really is. She's the closest thing we have to a communist on the Supreme Court. Although those two other women they idolize her.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or RBG as the kids call her, she was quite the popular Halloween costume, most notably by the character Alex on Modern Family. She dressed up as Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And then I saw, like, on Facebook and social media, I saw little girls dressed up as Ruth Bader Ginsburg with the great big glasses like Harry Carey. Very funny.
Mm. Well, after news got out that she broke three of her ribs and had to go to the hospital,
they told her to stay out of those places. That's right.
The woman who used to be known most for being a Hollywood actress, but now she's known as a leftist activist.
Let me guess. Let me guess.
The woman who I always say I like. I was always attracted to.
Hang on. Give me one second here. Please stand by.
Well, this actress, well, we used to know her as an actress. Again, now she's known mostly as being a leftist activist. Brewster, I got Alyssa Milano, who I've always been attracted to.
Waited two more seconds.
Alyssa Milano. There she is.
Double parked? We're going to be here. We're going to be here until 10 o'clock.
She then tweeted, "Ruth Bader Ginsburg can have my ribs." And my kidneys.
That was worth the wait.
And a lung. And anything else she needs. She can even have my husband on Thursdays. That was
that took an ugly turn now, didn't it?
Yeah, that was the tweet from Alyssa Milano offering Ruth Bader Ginsburg her kidneys and ribs and lung and anything else she needs.
Including?
On Thursdays. Her husband.
It's boner. Boner.
I wonder what happened to Alyssa Milano to make her so far politically left. I mean, Alyssa Milano is a borderline communist. It's safe to say now.
Here's what leaves me scratching my head. Could Alyssa Milano, in this slobbering devotion to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, could she name, I don't know, five important pieces of important decisions that Ruth Bader Ginsburg led, was at the forefront of?
It's a good question.
No.
All
the
I know
is no.
The last time the last time America saw Alyssa Milano in something was the Brett Kavanaugh Senate confirmation hearings when she was sitting right there, right on the aisle, right over everybody's shoulder, who they were talking to, and her cleavage. There was Alyssa Milano and two good friends.
Attention, whore.
And I don't know how her acting career is going. I mean, I know she's made millions. And that's the other thing.
Well, but does she still have millions?
What is it?
Doubtful.
What is it with these Hollywood folks, multimillionaires, and socialism, which is a very close neighbor of communism, whether it was Jim Carrey, the actor, who said, you know, he believes in socialism, and he, here's Alyssa Milano,
and that we should
leftist.
And that we should embrace socialism. Not just that he believes it. We, as the country, should embrace it.
Does Jim Carrey realize that if we embrace socialism, he'd be one of the first people that the government would go to their bank account and empty it? The government just emptied, please empty Jim Carrey's bank account. The guy is worth multi-millions of dollars. Socialism is the government coming in and taking all of your money. Taking you, Jim Carrey, taking your money so you don't have it anymore. We've talked about Cuba on the show. Why so many Cuban Americans that live in Miami and around there, if they could have killed the Castro brothers themselves, they would have. There were so many people back in the day, so many Cubans, that went to work every day. They had a nice home. They had a nice bank account. One day they woke up. It was all gone. Every cent that every Cuban had in the bank was taken by the government. It was taken. Can you imagine that? If you're listening right now, could you imagine you've worked hard much of your life? You've got a nice place to live. You've got a bank account that has money in it. Could you imagine if you woke up tomorrow and all of that money was gone out of that bank account? That's what happened to Cubans. And Jim Carrey, when you and people like Alyssa Milano, and when you say, you know, socialism, you know, it's the future, we should embrace it, the first thing that would happen to you during, if all of a sudden tomorrow America went socialist, is that our government would go to your bank account and take out the 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 million dollars that you have in one particular checking account. They would empty out your bank account
and give it to Alyssa Milano.
Well, and everybody else. I just don't understand. So whether it's actor Jim Carrey who says we should embrace socialism, I mean, somebody told him, he does realize, right, that his bank account would be emptied. And whether it's him wanting to give away gazillions of dollars or he wants everybody else to give away gazillions of dollars when it comes to socialism, now you've got Alyssa Milano offering Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Her husband.
And her body parts, ribs, kidneys, and a lung. Although the lung, it doesn't say S. It just says lung.
Right.
When it's her ribs and kidneys. But I guess she could only afford one lung.
Don't know if too many rib transplants. Although Mrs. Brewster and I had ribs last night. Transplanted them from the oven to our plates.
I still say she's good looking.
Alyssa Milano appeared as Renata in 5 episodes of Wet Hot American Summer 10 years later. I don't think that is on anymore. A TV series called Insatiable. She played in 9 episodes a character Coralie Armstrong. A movie, Little Italy, she played Dora. A TV movie is in post-production where she'll play Gabby. And just announced a TV movie titled Alyssa Milano for Mayor.
Oh, geez. So I guess she's kind of working.
Actress Alyssa Milano becomes the mayor of a suburban L.A. town. A suburban L.A. town. It doesn't make any sense.
This should
And tries to balance her fame with the minutiae of community politics. Oh, I can't wait to see that.
This should be her next project, a reality show where she gives her ribs, her kidneys, and a lung, and her husband on Thursdays to Supreme Court Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That just got an M for mature rating.
That's something you'd watch?
And I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Well, hell, I mean, I don't mind watching that show, My 600-Pound Life, on TLC when it's on. And that shows hospital procedures.
I don't want to see that.
I think Alyssa Milano is still a very attractive-looking woman. I would watch that. If that was on, hi, I'm Alyssa Milano. Go with me on for the next hour and a half into the hospital as I give Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I have my ribs, my kidneys, and my lung removed, and I give them to the 85-year-old borderline communist Supreme Court judge.
See, I thought we were talking about Thursdays and Alyssa Milano's husband with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and that creeps me out.
Well, I guess that's the cherry on top of that Sunday for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and then on Thursday she gets Alyssa Milano's husband, who, from what I understand, Alyssa Milano's husband is in all kinds of financial hell. He owes people money. He owes taxes. He owes all kinds of money. That, from what I understand, about Alyssa Milano's husband.
Mm.
So she could have maybe picked a better husband there when it comes to picking husbands.
You'll follow this story.
Well, yeah. Well, I always kind of follow her anyways. I used to follow her on Twitter, even though I'm not on Twitter that much. But once in a while, I check out Twitter. But like we've talked about, Brewster, some of our Facebook friends, and I've got social media friends from all over the political spectrum. But so, just like some of our Facebook friends, every day, every couple of hours, it's just bashing Trump, bashing Trump, bashing Trump. Well, that's how she is, and it gave me a headache after a while.
I just got a note from Alyssa Milano's people. They've asked that you please stop following her.
All right, coming up on the show, you might remember this story from the West Bank. We talked about it. A cop, a Jefferson Parish sergeant, lost his life. He was shot in the head. His wife says he killed himself. But the cops, and now a grand jury says, no, he didn't. You shot him and killed him. The latest on that story coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So a big question a lot of people have is, who is going to replace Jeff Sessions as the next Attorney General of the United States? Some people say that it could be Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, although he said yesterday that, nah, he thought he might be interested, but he would rather keep his gig being senator from South Carolina. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie was seen at the White House yesterday, but it wasn't for Attorney General. He was just there for lunch. So we'll see. And Donald Trump said that there's really no hurry, but pretty big gig. When you think about it, it's the biggest lawyer in America. It's the highest profile lawyer in the whole country. All right, coming up on the show, we will tell you about an incident that happened in New Orleans. Usually, when a woman goes home, at least to a hotel with a guy she met at a bar, usually it's good news. Not this story. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Hey, so there are still some shenanigans going on from Election Day a few days ago in Broward County, Florida.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Well, yeah, they're being accused, them and the county just north of them, Palm Beach County. One of Florida's senators, Marco Rubio, called them out on Twitter yesterday. It's been a few days since the election, and votes still keep coming in for the Democrat. This was a very close Senate race.
Well, look, people die every day. People have died since Election Day. But that doesn't mean they can't vote in Florida for the Democrat.
This is a very, very close Senate race in Florida where their Republican governor, Rick Scott, is running, he won, actually, a Senate seat. The governor switched gigs and he wanted to become a senator, Rick Scott, and he actually won, but they...
I think he was term limited out from...
Yeah, but they refused to release because they're saying it's so close right now. And they're still finding more votes, most of them from Democrats. And so yesterday, Rick Scott filed a big lawsuit against Broward County. And he said that late on Tuesday night, this is what Rick Scott said. He was the Republican running for Senate in Florida. He said late Tuesday night, our win was projected to be around 57,000 votes. It's pretty close, but still, it's 57,000 votes. By Wednesday morning, that lead dropped to 38,000 votes. By Wednesday evening, it was around 30,000 votes. And by Thursday morning, it was down to 21,000 votes, and now it's 15,000 votes, he said yesterday. So it's gone from 57,000 votes, his win, Rick Scott, to 15,000 votes in a couple of days.
That's that new math.
And so he's, and even Marco Rubio, like I said, their other senator, Marco Rubio said, this is shenanigans. This is wrong. And so now Rick Scott, the guy who won the Senate seat, is now suing Broward County because Broward County refuses to make it official and finalize it. They still say votes are coming in, but they all seem to be one way.
Can the state of Florida ever have a cut and dried election that's not ever contested in any way for any reason?
Well, we all think of, many of us think of Bush Gore.
2000.
That's with the
hanging chads.
The senior citizens, and they didn't know who they were voting for and what was going on. And the paper was hanging and what a mess. Well, now it continues in Florida. So keep your eye on that. But in the state next to us, in Mississippi, there's something going viral. A picture of a guy wearing a T-shirt. And the T-shirt he was wearing, that's why someone took a picture of him, and that's why it went viral.
Okay.
It cost this guy who lives in Mississippi his job. Hospital worker fired after wearing Confederate shirt with noose to the polls. It's in a town called Olive Branch, Mississippi. And I'm looking at this picture right here. It's a simple white T-shirt he's wearing, and on the white T-shirt, it's a Confederate flag
with a noose
over the Confederate flag.
And the message,
Mississippi justice. It says Mississippi on top of the Confederate flag,
right,
and it says justice on the bottom of the Confederate flag.
It certainly does.
The guy's name is Clayton Hickey, and he's from Olive Branch, Mississippi. And
Clayton Bigsby, who?
That's the T-shirt he decided to wear
to the polls
to go vote on Election Day a couple of days ago.
I love it.
And he worked at a hospital, but once that picture of him went viral, he lost his job at the hospital that he worked with because of the T-shirt. And I look at that T-shirt and I say, out of all the shirts that you had that day available to you, and I don't know, look, the guy works at the hospital in Mississippi. I don't know, what his wardrobe is like, but I think even a hospital scrub would probably have been a better choice. Brewster, I told you every once in a while I wear hospital scrubs around here.
I don't care. I don't care about that.
I went and bought them. You should see the looks I get. People look at you different. They look at you different when you're wearing hospital scrubs instead of just a regular shirt and a pair of pants. So this guy, Clayton Hickey of Olive Branch, Mississippi, thought it would be a good idea to wear that Confederate flag T-shirt with a noose and the words Mississippi justice.
But see, the problem is you wear the hospital scrubs that are all flowery. I think you'd give off a better impression just wearing a solid teal or the solid blue. It's generally the female workers that wear the. I'm just saying.
No, but I've noticed, Brewster, when I wear hospital scrubs every once in a while.
You wear the flowery ones. That's what I'm saying.
No, I just wear the.
I just wear
the regular hospital scrubs.
What else you got over there?
I've noticed. The looks I get from women are longer.
I've noticed the looks you get from women too. Meanwhile, in Mississippi.
Yeah.
I would imagine that Mississippi has the same, I think it's 100 feet, that you can't do what is referred to as electioneering. And I told you off the air that I can't remember what I had on. Maybe it was like a radio or TV something, either a hat or a shirt. But they were going to make, I think it was a hat, and they were going to put tape over it because it was something that could be construed
as influence people
exactly.
who are going there to vote,
or me telegraphing the fact that I'm going to vote for X because of whatever I've never worn anything with the name of any candidate,
you
either locally or, but I'm talking about even in my everyday life.
Huh.
I mean, I don't wear Make America Great. I don't wear one side or the other.
Like you couldn't wear anything like that? You couldn't wear one of those hats to go vote?
No, you can't.
They would make you cover it up or take it off because you can't be promoting any candidate or wearing anything that is seen to influence anybody's vote at the polls.
But I think when you go to the actual polling place in Olive Branch, Mississippi, and you're wearing a shirt that says Mississippi Justice with the Confederate flag and a noose, I dare say that may go outside the boundaries of the definition of electioneering. Yeah. I think that's over the top. You'll get fired.
Out of all the things that you could wear, that's the shirt you picked. So, again, the guy's name's Clayton Hickey of Olive Branch, Mississippi.
Clayton Bigsby.
Someone took a picture of him, and that picture went viral. And that's how offensive the shirt was. And so someone just said, I'm going to... I'm standing right next to him. I am taking a picture of this guy because he's wearing that shirt. It was posted online for all to see. Social media users called Hickey out for the move. Many called him racist.
Do we have any indication from the story that he was allowed to vote wearing that shirt?
Well, he was a former cop. Because once his picture started going viral, Brewster, people in that area recognized him. They knew who he was. He was a former cop. At first, he was wrongly identified as an election worker. And then local media outlets revealed his actual occupation and his actual name. Once that picture of him wearing that shirt went viral, then people said, Clayton Hickey needs to be fired immediately. And again, he worked at a hospital, but he no longer has a job at that hospital. Now, where do you think he's going to be able to find a job if people know him from this picture from Election Day that went viral?
I'm running out of ink trying to write this headline. Former police officer fired after wearing Confederate flag and noose shirt to Mississippi polling place.
Yeah, that's some headline.
That's a lot of words.
Boy, oh boy. Just goes to show you just when you thought you saw everything, and social media will never take any mistake or any stupid thing you do, and put a microscope on it, and this is what happens. Now this guy wearing this ridiculous shirt is out of work because he wore that shirt to go vote. All right, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock.
Come see us tomorrow from noon until 2. We'll be at the second annual Bayou Balloon Festival at Torres Park behind the Civic Center in Chalmette. It's going to be a great time. It starts today. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There is the beer garden for adults and football viewing. They'll have a screen or two out there for you to do that. Rides for the kids. Can we say balloons for the kids? You always throw that in. Balloons for the kids.
Well, balloons for the kids, not the balloons that you see, the big ones that you ride in, but maybe the other type of balloon.
And, well, you may have to bring your own. But there's going to be great Louisiana seafood out there. There will be adult beverages, as we said, rides for the kids. And it's going to be a good time. And we'll be hanging out there. Come see us, idiots, from noon until 2 in Chalmette.
Yeah, we'll be right near the stage.
Yes.
And we had a good time last year when we went. That's why we're going back this year, because it is a good time.
I said, I'm not going unless we're going to have a good time. And yes. So we are, and we will. And we did.
So if you're a guy, a single guy, you would normally think, okay, if you're hanging out in the French Quarter, you're partying, you're having a good time at some of the local establishments, and you go back to your hotel, you would probably think a woman following you into your hotel. You would probably think, hey, sounds like a good time. But it's not always a good time. And if that happens in New Orleans, sometimes you got to watch out. That's what I thought about when I saw this headline. Woman stabs man 4 times after following him to his hotel room in the French Quarter.
Not what he had in mind.
No. That's not what I think of when I think of a woman following somebody into their hotel.
Please don't elaborate on what you think.
It would be nice.
No, please.
A 46-year-old man was stabbed four times by a woman who followed him to his hotel room in the French Quarter. This happened late Wednesday night into early Thursday morning, according to the New Orleans police. The man went to his hotel room, the 700 block of Canal Street, around 2 a.m. And he gets to his hotel room, and he realizes he didn't have his key card. This is what he told police. The man then walked toward the front of the hotel to get another key card, and that's when he saw two women. He gets on the elevator. The two women follow the man onto the elevator and get onto the elevator with the man. He goes up to his room. And the women start to get out of the elevator after he gets out of the elevator on his floor. So the man turns around. I guess he looked at the women and he said, you know what? You guys better leave. You know, leave me alone. This is my hotel room over here. I'm going into my hotel room. I've been drinking in the bars in the French Quarter tonight. I'm ready to go to sleep. Evidently, if that's the case and that's what looks like happened, I guess maybe he wasn't thrilled with the how the women looked. One woman listened to him and left, but the other
But he did say, oh, by the way, that door there, that's my room. Idiot.
But the other woman, one woman left, listened to him, but the other woman not only didn't leave, she pulled out a knife and stabbed him four times and then left. I mean, she didn't even rob him or take his cell phone or take his wallet.
So
she just stabs him and leaves.
Apparently, she didn't like his looks either.
Yeah. Well, the cops are looking for this woman. Mm. And just be careful in the French Quarter.
Yes.
Coming up next, we will look at today in history. On this radio show, we call the segment, Why Today Does It Suck? And we hope you'll stay tuned for that report.
Suck is next.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. It's about that time of the show where we look at today in history, and we call the segment,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
We celebrate this every day because, well, damn it, we live here. But for the rest of the country, today is November 9th. Happy National Louisiana Day. And the answer to your next question is, I don't know why today, November 9th, is designated as National Louisiana Day. It doesn't appear to be.
Is today the day that Louisiana become a state in the United States on November 9th?
I don't believe so. Mm. And I didn't search all that hard, so if it's obvious and I missed it, I'm sorry. I can't do everything.
And you know how I feel when we talk about states, Brewster. I it's been so long since we admitted another state, and I know 50 is a nice round number, but why can't we add more states?
Because I said no.
November 9th. It was today in 1990.
Why today doesn't suck?
Willie Nelson's assets are seized by the IRS. The Internal Revenue Service went after Willie Nelson. They said, quote, we try to work with taxpayers. Put that in front of an acoustic guitar. It sounds a little bit better. But they said that Willie Nelson owed them millions of dollars. And so they seized a bunch of Willie Nelson stuff. I wonder if they took all his weed. And
I don't think Willie Nelson has ever run short of weed in his life.
But what's interesting about this IRS
just guessing
story, quote, the IRS said when dealing with Willie Nelson, we try to work with taxpayers. And if we have to come up with some creative payment plan, that's what we're going to do because it's in everyone's best interest. Isn't this how Farm Aid got started?
No.
Didn't tax aid? Wasn't it some aid?
Well, John Mellencamp started Farm Aid. And oh, by the way, they've been together for 30 years, but John Mellencamp and Meg Ryan have announced that they're engaged. So good luck to those two kids.
While Willie Nelson was struggling to repay a $16.7 million tax debt, And so the federal government said, well, if he has to play shows for us or whatever he has to do, well, we're going to get our $16.7 million. And so that happened today in 1990. Willie Nelson's assets seized. You know, he's still going strong, that guy.
Oh, he's pretty good for he's right around 80. He has one lung, one good lung.
You ever see the really old pictures of him?
Where he tried to be the Nashville Politan with a jacket and a tie and a short haircut.
Yeah, he looks like a businessman.
Yeah, it just didn't work for him. So he said, "Screw you, Nashville. I'm going to Austin." And he's never looked back.
It's like those old pictures of Ronnie James Dio when he's in a suit. And he's right. He's singing doo-wop, right. and he's got the short hair. He looks like a businessman too.
Yep.
Pretty funny when you see that stuff.
It was on this day, November 9th, 1996.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Van Halen's first compilation album, Best Of, Volume 1, became their fifth album to reach the top of the Billboard 200 album chart. It spent 1 week at number one and went on to sell 3 million copies in the USA. It was on this date, November 9th, 1966.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
John Lennon met Yoko Ono for the first time when he attended a private viewing of her art collection at the Indica Gallery in London. 1966, John Lennon would have been 26. I think Yoko Ono was 56 at the time. She's almost 90. Yoko Ono was quite a bit older than John.
So Yoko Ono robbed the cradle?
Yes.
Huh.
It was on this date, November 9th, a year later in 1967.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The first issue of Rolling Stone was published, and you know who was on it.
The very first issue of Rolling Stone.
Correct.
I don't know who was on it.
I gave you
Madonna.
A hint. No. In 1967? She was 56 at the time. No, I gave it away. It was actually John Lennon on the cover of the first Rolling Stone dressed in army fatigues. He was filming at that time a movie called How I Won the War. It was on this date 1 year later again, November 9th, 1968.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Robert Plant marries his first wife, Maureen Wilson, in London. Their wedding was, their wedding reception was Led Zeppelin. Concert at London's Roadhouse, which was their first concert in London. Sadly, those two kids couldn't work it out, and they went Splitsville, getting divorced in 1983.
November 9th. It was today in 1970.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The United States Supreme Court refused to rule on the legality of the Vietnam War. They refused to hear a challenge by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts regarding the constitutionality of the Vietnam War. By a 6-3 vote, the Supreme Court rejected the effort of Massachusetts to bring a suit in federal court in defense of residents claiming protection. And so that's something that the entire war, the legality of it, was ruled on by the the Supreme Court refused to rule on the legality of the Vietnam War.
That is something.
Yeah. And I saw this. I found this interesting, too. 10 years before that, today, November 9th in 1960.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
This was before the Vietnam War made headlines.
Yes.
But Robert McNamara, today in 1960, became president of the Ford Motor Company. Now, if you fast forward a few years, McNamara would be on President John F. Kennedy's cabinet. He would be the Secretary of Defense, and a lot of people would be looking at him when it came to who's responsible for what's going on in Vietnam.
Right.
So go figure. He was very successful as a private sector businessman. I mean, you're making big money if you're the president of the Ford Motor Company, and just a few years later, he would be the Secretary of Defense.
As I told you, last week, Mrs. Brewster and I finally got around to seeing the movie Chappaquiddick, detailing the story of Ted Kennedy and the tragic death of Mary Jo Kopechne in 1969. And Robert McNamara figures into that movie I'm not sure who the actor is, but he's very good. Because Robert McNamara basically takes over the strategy. And first they tried to does Ted go out and tell the truth? Does Ted go out and lie? Does Ted go out and give partial details? And the McNamara actor is just really good, really good.
Boy, I thought Vietnam was one of Robert McNamara's toughest battles to deal with. But no, Ted Kennedy with the Chappaquiddick and getting that woman across the bridge there.
Can you? I cannot, I lived through it. I cannot imagine that just 11 years later, Ted Kennedy runs for president after having waited 9 hours to report to the police that he crashed his car and a woman died. I can't wrap my mind around that.
Yeah, I wonder how that would...
And I'm going to be president. Era.
I wonder how that would fly in this day and age with the hashtag MeToo movement and such.
Fly right over the bridge.
And finally, I got one more. It was November 9th. Today in 2001.
Why today doesn't suck.
The Kodak Theater becomes the new home of the Academy Awards, and it opened up. You know, for many years, they had the Academy Awards at a theater in Pasadena.
The Dorothy Chandler Pavilion?
Is that what it was called?
Maybe.
I know it was in Pasadena. But this Kodak Theater, it opened up right next to the Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard there in Hollywood, California. It holds 3,400 people. I think it's changed names a couple of times since it opened today in 2001. Whoever decides to pay for the naming rights of that thing.
Right.
But there you go. It's a new theater right there, and well, now it's celebrating its 17th birthday.
And that's a segment that we call Era.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, if you like the McRib sandwich from McDonald's, I was just reading. Did you realize there are over...
Stop right there. I just had one, so be careful. I just had one earlier this week.
Brewster, there are over 70 ingredients in the McRib.
Oh, awesome.
You would think it's only supposed to be a rib and a bone.
Well, it doesn't have bones.
Well,
there's... It doesn't have bones. Oh, we'll break this down.
I'll tell you some of the 70 ingredients that are in the McRib sandwich.
I don't think I want to know.
God. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Do you like the McRib sandwich from McDonald's? Well, if you do,
I do right now, but after this story, I'm not so sure.
Did you know there are over 70 ingredients?
Okay, let me try to guess them.
In the McRib.
All right, here we go. You've got your bun.
Is that right? Yeah, that's an ingredient. Yeah, but there's a lot inside that bun. But you're right about that.
Really? Okay, well, I got bun. There's the piece of meat.
That's right.
There's the barbecue sauce.
That's right.
There's raw white onions that I always pick off because they give me heartburn. You have your pickles.
And that's pretty much it.
And that's 70. That's exactly 70 ingredients. Did I get them right?
You got that right.
There is no bone in the McRib, by the way.
No.
I suggest that if you get a bone in your McRib, you send it back. Here's the thing, though. My particular, they advertise the damn thing with a fries and a Dr. Pepper. And no, I really shouldn't have Dr. Pepper, but if I'm going to have a McRib, I'm going to go ahead and splurge and have a Dr. Pepper. And my McDonald's that I went to, which will remain nameless, it was out of Dr. Pepper.
Oh boy.
Well, can I have an unsweetened tea? Well, we're out of unsweetened tea. But that's not why you called. Go ahead. I got like five or six of the ingredients.
You're right. The McRib from McDonald's is supposed to have four ingredients. The bun, the patty, the pickles, and the onion. That's four ingredients.
Right.
But inside those four ingredients, over 70 ingredients, Brewster.
Mm.
You know, the McRib, it started in 1981. And it was introduced to their special menu. And it has been a menu item off and on since 1981.
Mm-hmm.
It made a comeback and reached superb popularity 5 years ago in 2013. Brewster, here are some of the 70 ingredients.
I'm afraid to hear this.
Inside the pork patty.
Right.
Dextrose. Water.
This is going to get really bad.
Something called BHA. Propyl gallate, citric acid, and I'm just naming a few. Those are just a few of the preservatives, and there's more.
Those are the ones you could pronounce.
And that's inside the pork patty. Which, wow. And you're right. You won't find a bone in there. But inside the McRib bun, bleached wheat flour, malted barley flour, niacin, reduced iron.
Well, niacin's okay. That's B6, B2, B is one of your Bs.
Thiamine.
Well, that's
maniotrate. Riboflavin.
That's a vitamin and or mineral.
All right, now you've got your yeast, your high fructose corn syrup.
That's bad. And I mean that in a good way. That's good.
Soybean oil, partially hydrated soybean, more dextrose. So there's dextrose in the actual patty, and there's dextrose in the actual, in the bun. And then it just goes on and on. I can't pronounce half of these things that are in the McRib bun.
Right.
It looks like the McRib bun is, it looks like that thing could start some sort of nuclear festival.
And he means that in a good way.
And then the McRib sauce, there's all kinds of stuff.
Fine sponsor, McDonald's.
Then in the pickle slices, there's all kinds of stuff.
Well, I mean, be fair. I mean, if you're going to go buy a jar of just hamburger dill sliced pickles, which is basically what there are, there are going to be a number of ingredients on there, owing to the pickling process. They have to have some preservatives, or they'll go bad.
And
so we're not singling on McDonald's.
No, and I don't think anybody ever looked at the McRib sandwich and said, you know, this is good for me.
Well, in just like anything else, we say moderation. Should you eat 10 of them a day? No. Should you eat one every day? Probably not.
Well, there's over 70.
I did eat two, though, in the light of full disclosure. I said I ate one, I ate two.
You know, advertising works, Brewster, because since we're talking about this. For the last week on television commercials, every commercial I see for Burger King, they advertise their Philly cheesesteak burger.
Yeah.
Two patties, two slices of cheese, cooked onions, and the gooey cheese sauce.
Sure.
And so,
well, they have the shaved meat too, right? Or no?
No, it's their hamburger patties.
Well, now if we're going to mention every fast food restaurant on Veterans,
well, no, and I know, stop.
The Rally's, they from time to time have a Philly cheesesteak burger, and it has the meat on there.
But I'm telling you how advertising works. After I saw that Burger King commercial for that burger for like the fifth or sixth time,
yes,
I went to Burger King and I got it. And boy, did I love it. Mm. But boy, when you're eating the McRib, just think, you think it has four items in it. It really has over 70 in it.
And they're all delicious. He means that in a good way.
Yeah. Well, hey, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about the former America's Got Talent star who says he lost a gig opening for Billy Gibbons for ZZ Top because of the hat he was wearing. We will tell you about that coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So did you see this story about the 69-year-old man who wants to legally be 49 again? He says he identifies as a 49-year-old man and he wants to have 20 years shaved off his life because it would help him in like getting a loan.
Well,
when he goes on dating websites, it would help him if he's 20 years younger, and the women wouldn't be so old that are going after him.
Shaved off his age, not shaved off his life.
Yeah, 20 years shaved off of his age.
Right.
Well, he's saying because
nut job.
He's doing this because there are some people, transgendered people, if they say they identify as the opposite gender,
right.
Or we had Rachel Dolezal, the white woman who identified as black, and
right.
She got a gig high up with the NAACP. And
Elizabeth Warren identifies as Native American.
Yes. And if Rachel Dolezal and Elizabeth Warren, who in my opinion both have mental illness, could do that, why can't this guy? That's what he's saying. And the guy, he's 69 years old. His name is Emil Rattleband, and he's going for this. and he said, and what's fascinating about this is he said, with this freedom of choice, freeness of choice of name, freeness choice of gender, he goes, well, because of all of that, I want to have my own age. I want to control myself. He says that in an effort to combat age discrimination, again, he wants to take 20 years off of his 69 years, mm-hmm. and he wants to now be 49 years old.
He wants to petition the court to legally change the age at which he identifies.
Because it would help him in the business, it would help him in the business world. And he says, especially on dating websites, he says, quote, so when I ask for a mortgage, for example, they say it's impossible. You try being a 69-year-old man going into a bank and trying to get a 30-year or even a 15-year mortgage.
Trust me, putting 49 on dating websites doesn't work either. Trust me.
He says, if I go on dating websites like Tinder, then I get women who are then I get women who are pushing 70 in their upper 60s. He goes, I don't want that. He goes, I want younger women.
Well,
he said he doesn't want to lie, but he wants to be himself. And he said if courts around the world agree that some people, if they identify as something that they're not,
right,
and they can be that, why can't he be 20 years younger? I mean, do you agree with that?
Sure, I do. I identify as a sunflower.
It says it's going to take the court about 3 to 4 weeks to rule on this.
I'm sorry, did you say 3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 seconds?
No, three or four weeks, because, again, there is some precedent.
There's some taxpayer dollars at good use.
There is some precedent out there of people identifying as something
but not
other than they were born as. This guy is 69. He wants to legally be 49. It would help him in the business world, and it would help him on dating websites.
We have your petition. Your petition has been read by the court. Now, would you like to explain how you're going to change the laws of time? Because that is the only way that we could possibly rule in your favor. You were not born 49 years ago. You were born 69 years ago. I don't care if you think you're going to wear diapers and be a toddler. You're 69. Case dismissed. Now get out.
And and this guy, well, he's looking around and seeing what's making the headlines, and
he's after his 15 minutes of fame, and he's got it here on this show.
Yeah, and the again, like you brought up, Elizabeth Warren identifying as a brown woman. The senator from Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren, identifying as a Native American. And in my opinion, that's mental illness.
Well, in my opinion, it was determined that she is 1,000...
Over 24.
Over
1,024.
20,004th yeah. Native American. That's verifiable. You can say she's mentally ill. There are people who identify as... Despite having the, shall we say, plumbing of the other gender, identify as the other gender. But there can be no dispute. How did it take them 3 or 4 weeks? How's it going to take them 3 or 4 weeks?
Well, they're going to look into it. They're looking into it. This guy lives in the Netherlands. So you could say.
Well, maybe that's part of it.
You could say in the Netherlands that, you know, they take their time with things like this. But no, I think this guy's trying to make a point. But
Brewster, well, obviously, I'm trying to make a point, too.
Brewster, with the Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, when she went to college at University of Pennsylvania, and she said she was Native American, and she was as white as white could be. We've talked about her on the show. Her nickname, she was so white, her nickname was Lily. She may have taken a spot from an authentic minority.
But we're not hearing her case as part of this. And there are no parallels in that case to this case.
No, but even when she applied for the job at Harvard, she put down she was Native American. And she might have taken a job away from a real minority.
We're not hearing that case, though. I mean, we're talking about...
Well, it's because of cases like that and transgender people. It's because of, and the NAACP woman. It's because of all of that that this guy wants 20 years taken off his age.
Well, I get that. And I've already ruled against him. So this little preview of how it's going to be when I'm world czar. And it's coming. It's coming.
I got to be honest with you. When you brought the whole transgender, there are some really attractive transgender women. There are some women that are... They are very attractive. You call them whatever you want to call them.
What's coming up next on the show?
So anyway, and we will follow this story to see if the Netherlands takes 20 years off of this guy's age. Coming up, I want to get to this story about the woman on the West Bank. We talked about it when it happened on Father's Day. The former NOPD cop, he was a Jefferson Parish cop. She says he killed himself. She's just been indicted for shooting him. There's a big difference of opinion there. We'll give you the latest on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans.
John Mellencamp and Meg Ryan have announced that they are engaged. He's 67, she's 56, so we wish those two kids all the luck in the world. Well, they've been together like 30 years.
It makes you wonder what happened to her. She disappeared, and I think she's just another one of those Hollywood women stories.
Well, she's,
how they get to a certain point and then they either play like mothers or grandmothers or aunts, or you don't see them anymore. You don't see them in movies anymore.
My Spears! She did herself no favors by the plastic surgery she had, because she just, you talk about unrecognizable. I mean, she's more unrecognizable as she was previously than Jennifer Grey. I mean, Jennifer Grey looks nothing like she did.
Mm.
But Meg Ryan got bad surgery. She looks like Jack Nicholson in the first Batman movie with Michael Keaton.
Well, that's one of the sad things about Hollywood, how you could be a female movie star for years, and then once you start getting past a certain age or a look, you don't get those roles anymore. You're going to be, you got to be the mother, the stepmother, the whatever, the aunt, whatever the case may be.
But you can grow old, I shouldn't say gracefully, I guess more naturally than having work done and get those roles. I mean, look at drawing a blank, the America's, what's her name? the I can't think of her name.
Jennifer Lawrence?
No. Older actress. Older. Let's play high low. You know who I'm talking about. If you're listening, you know who I'm talking about. I'm thinking Glenn Close, but not Glenn Close.
Well, all I was doing was making the point that
anyway,
seemingly when you're a woman actress, you get to a certain age in Hollywood and then it's over. After that, of you playing the juicy roles, male actors, though, they usually can go on and on and on. I mean, geez, look at Harrison Ford. I mean, he's still the leading man.
But that's what they say. They say that when a man gets gray hair at the temples, it's distinguished. It's attractive. When women get gray hair, it's like, oh, why didn't she color that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, I wanted to bring this up real quick. Because we told you the story when it happened, and if you pay attention to the local news, I'm sure you're familiar with it. On Father's Day.
Meryl Streep, by the way, is who I was trying to think of.
This past Father's Day, Jefferson Parish police officer Sergeant Troy Smith, who used to be a New Orleans police officer, he died from a gunshot wound to the head. His wife, they lived in Waggaman. He did it in the, this happened in their home in Waggaman. His wife said that he shot himself in the head. Her name is Chantel. Her name is Chantel Perea. And she said he shot himself in the head, but after a long investigation, authorities arrested her and say, no, he didn't. You shot him and killed him. And yesterday, a grand jury agreed over there in Jefferson Parish that there was enough... there was enough evidence, there was enough stuff that they read to say that she's the one, she should go to trial.
Well, she's been indicted.
Yeah, she's been indicted. She should go to trial for the murder of her husband. She denies it, her lawyers deny it, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Just a sad, sad story. And that's a story, because everybody that knew this guy and worked with him said he was a great guy. So the details, that's going to be a big local story. Coming up next on the show, a guy says he got kicked off of a concert tour because of his political leanings. Stay tuned for that on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So we talked about it a little bit yesterday morning, that awful shooting at the bar in Thousand Oaks, California, just north of Los Angeles a couple of nights ago. It was a country music bar, and some of the people that were in there that night, including one of the 12 dead, one of the victims,
yes,
was at the Las Vegas mass shooting at that country music festival.
Right.
And they said...
Across from Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, and they said that every Wednesday night, a bunch of people that were at the Las Vegas mass shooting, which is the biggest mass shooting in recent American history, several people that were at that mass shooting showed up at that bar in Thousand Oaks, California on Wednesday nights. It was, and they hung out. And as I mentioned yesterday on the show, most Americans will never, thank God, go through anything like that once in their lives. Could you imagine going through that twice in a little over a year? And one guy, again, who was at the Las Vegas country concert shooting, was shot and killed at the Thousand Oaks, California bar shooting. And on Wednesday nights, it's country night there, and they have line dancing, and it's for college kids. There's a bunch of area colleges. That's where they hang out. And watching some of the footage on the news from there yesterday was so sad, so horrifying when you saw some of that stuff. Well, now we're learning more about the shooter, and the shooter is a loser. I mean, he was almost 30, lived with his mother. Drove his mother's car over there. Yes, he was a Marine, and he did serve a few months in Afghanistan. But neighbors, when they were interviewed over the last day or so about him, every neighbor to a person said the guy had issues. They knew that the guy had issues. And as a matter of fact, whether it was the county or the town or the state of California, whoever it was, that sent a psychiatrist, a head doctor, over to talk to this guy. The doctor said that he doesn't need a 5150. A 5150 means that the state has the power to physically take you into an institution for up to 72 hours. And they talked to this shooter a while ago, because the guy showed signs of being nuts, of being crazy. Or I should watch my mouth, because you're not allowed to call a crazy person crazy. I mentally ill.
Am I crazy, or is that a lot of gum?
So yeah, this guy, the shooter there, in Thousand Oaks, California, he was on their radar. He was someone that authorities had been familiar with. He is someone that doctors had talked to, and I guess he passed the test because they did not give him a 5150. They did not, after they spoke with him, they did not take him for up to 72 hours and put him into some mental institution. And then he goes and he shoots a bunch of people there at that bar. And he used a handgun. And because he's a military veteran, he knew exactly what he was doing. And again, it's so sad, and people get angry, and people get angry at our politicians. Why does this happen in the quote-unquote greatest country in the world? Why do we have mass shootings every other week? Why are there so many mass shootings? Well, I want the people that keep asking that question, I want them to tell me what they would do. Tighter holes. Gun shows, get rid of the loopholes of gun shows. This would still happen. It would still happen if we just did what you said. Well, get rid of the, how about lower cartridge magazine holders, and so weapons couldn't hold so many bullets at once. This would still happen even if you did that. Because yesterday it was a handgun. It was a handgun yesterday. Look, I don't like this. I don't think anybody likes the mass shootings. But the people that keep ripping our country saying, we don't do anything about it. Anything they say they want to do about it would not stop the mass shootings. If you know people that say, well, this is what we need to do about this. We need to do A, B, and C. And I just told you A and B, they wouldn't work. I mean, they might help a little bit, but it's not going to stop mass shootings. This is the price that we pay for living in not only the greatest country on planet Earth, but the freest country on planet Earth. And what's shocking about what happened out there, and I've said this 1,000 times, and I'm not the only one, but the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And what's interesting about the California case, Brewster, not only was everywhere out there a no-carry zone, but a bunch of off-duty cops were in that bar Wednesday night. Not one of them had a gun on them. That place was a hangout, a regular hangout for off-duty cops. There were several off-duty cops at the bar in Southern California a couple of nights ago. Not one of them. Not one of them brought their gun in with them because it's not allowed. So with all of those gun laws that they have there, it made that place a shooting gallery. It made all of those people in that place targets. Because if one of those off-duty cops had a gun on them, how many of those lives would have been saved? Because this nut, I'm sorry, this mentally ill person shot someone at the front door to get in. And then when he got in, then started shooting people. And then when he emptied all of his ammunition, it took him 5 to 6 seconds because he knew what he was doing to pull out that empty cartridge and put in another full cartridge. If one of those off-duty cops in that bar had his gun on him, it would have saved lives. There's no doubt about that, because wherever you say this is a no-gun zone, you're basically making targets out of human beings, because people that break the law are not going to pay attention to a no-gun zone sign or a no-gun zone law. And so, but I was just watching the news yesterday, and yeah, there was an actress who's married to a Fox News reporter. They lost a nephew. He was one of the, or a niece, a niece. They lost one of those twin girls, the Maori actresses, the Maori sisters. Her niece was one of the victims. And then the father of that one guy showed up there and just lost it. He was on the phone. Have we seen him yet? Have we heard from him?
Right.
And when they told him his son was dead, he just broke down. I mean, there's nothing more heartbreaking. That is as heartbreaking gets. But what bothered me the most was to hear that there were several off-duty police officers in that bar that night. Not one of them, because it's against the law, had their gun on them.
Meanwhile, at about 6:30 Eastern time this morning in Pender County, North Carolina, reports of an active shooter situation at Topsail High School. Well, about an hour later, after investigation, it turns out, says Tom Collins, the Pender County Emergency Management Director, it was backfire or noise from a malfunctioning water heater. How can you imagine that? Now, the school system starts putting out alerts on their Twitter account. And so ostensibly parents and loved ones of students there are obviously worried. They came back and said Pender County Schools thankful that everyone is safe, thanking local emergency services for their immediate response. But there was never any active shooter situation. Now, you can say, well, how could a school system be on eggshells like that, be so overly sensitive? Apparently at that school back in May, there had been a student with a very long knife taped to his leg, and then other knives at his disposal. And nothing bad came of that situation, but that's the world. What you described is the world we live in. This is the world we live in.
Well, yeah, and
backfiring from a malfunctioning water heater.
Yeah, it was about an hour ago, Brewster. We were during a commercial break, and I said, "Uh oh, looks like we might have another shooting in a high school this time in North Carolina." And then that's what it was, a backfiring water heater.
So much better news than. Here than in California.
Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll tell you the dumbest thing that I read all week, and there's usually a couple of those.
And so, we were going to get to this yesterday, but I want to go through a handful, the top six, seven, eight words added to a particular dictionary for 2018. And some of them are a little odd. They left me scratching my head, some of them.
We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. So in the state of Georgia, history was not made on Election Day. You had the that woman, the black woman, Stacey Abrams, who Oprah Winfrey was stumping for. We talked about that on the show.
I think Barack Hussein Obama was as well.
Yeah, and if she won, she would have been the first black female governor in the history of our country. And she came close in Georgia. She only lost by a point or two, but she still is not admitting defeat. She refuses to admit defeat.
Hmm.
She says her campaign will fight on, and they want the votes recounted. They're going to continue to fight. Again, even though she lost, she's not being a gracious loser. But from what I understand, hooking up with Oprah Winfrey is going to help her eventually. Oprah got her to become a member of Weight Watchers, which is a real good thing. So even though Stacey Abrams did not win in her jaunt to be the governor of Georgia, she may win something in the end anyways.
The election is over, and I'm unleashed!
Woo! The Georgia Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, beat her, and it looks like every Hollywood picked candidate lost, whether it was the Tennessee person that Taylor Swift wanted to win, whether it was Oprah's pick in Georgia, whether it was no matter who the celebrities, the big name celebrities who came out and said this is who you should vote for, not one of them won.
These are demons.
And that tells me that there is hope in this country, that people who wouldn't ordinarily care about politics looking at someone like Taylor Swift would say, you know what? Because Taylor Swift told me to vote, I'm going to go vote. Even though I don't follow politics, I couldn't tell you anything about these people, and I don't care about this stuff. But because my favorite singer told me I need to go vote, I'm going to go vote.
As far as I'm concerned, the Tea Party can go straight to hell.
I think Maxine Waters won, didn't she?
And she always wins. It's the same. Some of these Congress people have been there forever, and senators too. All right, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing.
Things.
Dumbest things we read all week here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. It's Friday. It's about 8:35 a.m. This is where we tell you the dumbest thing, things we read all week. We do the best we can to bring you some stuff that we think you'll be interested in. But some of the stuff that we read, I actually feel dumber.
I feel
when I'm done reading it.
I feel dirty sometimes, like I need a shower. It could be the dirtiest things we read all week. But then we wouldn't be able to put it on the air. So we won't do that. Do you have a runner-up?
I've got a runner-up.
All right. Why don't you start?
Here's my first runner-up. Buffalo Bills fans set up GoFundMe to get their quarterback to retire. this quarterback,
that's about right.
This quarterback is named Nathan Peterman. He's the backup. He's not the starter, the young rookie that they got from Wyoming, Josh Allen is, but he got hurt. So now this guy, Nathan Peterman, is starting. He started last week. He started one game last year, and he threw five interceptions in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not very good, although that entire team is not very good.
No.
But someone is so bummed out, some Buffalo Bill fan is so upset that Nathan Peterman, the Peterman, is starting again this week with all of his interceptions, that they have set up a GoFundMe on Facebook, and it's titled, Nathan Peterman, Please Retire. Their goal is to get him $1 million, and then maybe he'll leave their team alone and he won't come back.
Hard to believe they're treating the 171st pick of round five.
Well, right now, Brewster, 31 people have donated to that GoFundMe, and they've contributed a combined
$200.
$182.
That was close.
So that GoFundMe account is only $999,818 away from getting their wish.
Let's give till it hurts, shall we?
What's interesting, Brewster, he has his career passing rating.
Yes. Doesn't even register, does it?
No, it's impossibly low. It is 32.5. That is his career passer rating. Let me give you an example.
Now, that might be high because I have it here at 31.4.
Well, let me give you – maybe it went down from last week. Maybe I got last week's number in front of me.
Can we get some fresh stats in here?
Let me tell you how low that is. If a quarterback just spikes the ball into the ground every play, his quarterback rating would be 39.6.
That's
so
right.
If a quarterback just spikes the ball in the ground every play – he's got a higher quarterback rating than Buffalo Bills quarterback, Nathan Peterman.
The poor kid's only 24 years old.
And he's been put in a bad situation, but right. He has absolutely no hope at succeeding there. But they have nobody else.
No.
There's nobody else that they have to play this week.
That's it.
And you know what? You kind of feel bad for Buffalo and their fans. Because, Brewster, imagine you're a star player at the University of Miami or LSU or University of Southern California, you know, where the weather's usually warm, it's nice, people are really into it. You get picked, you get drafted to go play in Buffalo. That's the closest thing.
To Siberia.
It really is. It's a small town. There's not a lot to do. It's freezing for half the year. Snow and sleet comes out of the sky.
Once you've had the wings from the Anchor Bar and you've had beef on whack, that's their two food items, and that's it. You've been through the culinary delights that are Buffalo, New York.
So, that's one of the runners-up of the dumbest thing I read all week. The GoFundMe set up for Nathan Peterman, the backup quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. If the Bills fans can get to $1 million, maybe he'll retire and he won't play.
Hey, Peterman! Number two, escaped camel captured by police in Florida.
Florida.
Dateline, Miami-Dade. Police in Florida responded to a call and ended up reuniting an escaped camel with its owner. Police tweeted photos showing the camel captured after being reported by surprise drivers in the Redlands. User at AlexCanRide posted video to Instagram showing the two-humped Bactrian camel, got me, crossing a road before its capture. Police said the camel was returned to its owner. And looks like we have some eyewitness testimony.
There's a camel on the loose in the Redlands. What? Why is there a camel in the middle of the street? Poor baby. He's lost and scared.
We live nearby, and we came in the car and saw that the camel was still kind of wandering around the street. We've seen a lot of animals around here because it's all agricultural, but not a camel. Somebody actually came and tied him to the fence right there so that he wouldn't be in the street. It's a special day, I guess.
Now, if you notice, we have the headline, escaped camel captured by police in Miami-Dade, Florida. We have eyewitness testimony. We have where it was, who was involved. We don't know why the camel was loose. The only thing we don't have in this runner-up is when it happened. And it happened on Wednesday.
I was
hump day!
I was going to ask, did it happen on a Wednesday?
It happened on a Wednesday. This past Wednesday, hump day.
You know, if that story happened in the Middle East, If that story happened in Egypt or Saudi Arabia,
no big deal.
It wouldn't be a big deal.
Right.
But it happens around Miami.
It's not something you see every day in Miami-Dade.
No, and you see a lot in Florida. And we see a lot of crazy stories come out of Florida. But a camel just going down the street, you don't see very often.
That's right.
All right, well, those were the runners-up. And now,
quickly,
here is the dumbest thing I read and saw all week.
The key word there being quickly.
Man with no pants falls through Waffle House ceiling. This happened in Alabama. This happened a couple of days ago because I put this video on the Bayou Facebook page a couple days ago. I am now putting it on our website, Bayou957.com, in case you missed it on our Bayou Facebook page.
Hump day!
Yeah! This happened in Tuscumbia, Alabama. And I love Waffle House. But the video is very entertaining.
I think there is a pretty good Waffle House in Tuscumbia, Alabama.
Well, this is the one. Police in Alabama say a man not wearing any pants fell through the roof of a Waffle House during a botched burglary and fought patrons before fleeing. You can see. Now, if you're sitting there, imagine, because I love Waffle House. Imagine if you're sitting in Waffle House, you're eating, and all of a sudden, a guy with no pants falls through the ceiling a few feet away from you. He gets up.
It's like a party at your house.
Well, he goes through the front door, and a couple of people eating there got in his way. But he was pantless, so how much are you going to try to hold him down? You know, how much are you going to try to stop him from exiting that door? He's not wearing any pants, and you're eating your breakfast. But a couple of people in the Alabama Waffle House tried. They didn't have much success, and the guy ran out the door.
I wanted patty sausage, not links.
But police recognized him from the video as 27-year-old Glenn Boast.
Hey.
B-O-S-T. And I don't know if they recognized him from the waist up or the waist down, but he is being sought on criminal mischief and burglary charges. There was another suspect with him. He hasn't been identified. That guy had his pants on.
There's a camel on the loose in the Redlands.
So what's crazier, a camel going down the street in Miami on a Wednesday, nobody knows who or what or why, or a guy with no pants falling through the ceiling of a Waffle House restaurant in Tuscumbia, Alabama, but they are looking for this guy.
Is that a hypothetical question?
But they are looking for this guy, and boy, it makes you wonder what you do, because I always like to try to put myself in these stories, Brewster, because I love Waffle House, and I know you do, too.
I like Waffle House.
A pantsless man falls through the ceiling. What do you do? Do you take that other bite of your egg, your sausage, your waffle? Or do you just hop up as he's running for the front door? You know he's up to no good, but you got to do something. You got to grab him. But he's not wearing any pants.
This is why I don't leave the house.
Well, you could go see exactly what happened in about 2 minutes on our website at Bayou957.com, because that video is in the process of being put up there right now, and it was put on our Bayou Facebook page a couple of days ago. So,
there you go.
And there you go, the dumbest things we read all week on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So there's this guy who was opening for Billy Gibbons. Billy Gibbons, the leader of ZZ Top.
Sure.
He's the guitarist and singer for the great band ZZ Top. But I didn't know Billy Gibbons goes on tour by himself. He's a solo act, I guess, when the other two guys in ZZ Top are busy counting their money. Billy Gibbons, he tours solo. Well, he had a guy who was opening up for him, and his name is Benton Blount, B-L-O-U-N-T.
I would be changing that immediately.
Well, Benton Blount was also on America's Got Talent, so he was pretty known. He didn't win on America's Got Talent, but he did pretty well on the TV show America's Got Talent, and evidently because of that, he landed the opening act for the solo tour of ZZ Top's Billy Gibbons.
Okay.
And I think it was only like a 9 or 10 gig tour. But it was still a decent tour, a couple of weeks.
That's great exposure.
Yeah, and he got a few shows into it. And he said he just lost that gig. He was just fired because of a picture on his Facebook page, on his social media pages.
Right.
He's wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
This is the triple threat. Go ahead. Number one.
He's holding a Chick-fil-A drink.
Number two.
With the Chick-fil-A logo. And I can't see. What's that in his left hand?
Well, it's not that. It's the sticker on his jacket that says, I voted.
Oh, I voted. That's what it is.
Or hashtag, I voted.
And he is now saying that he just got kicked off of that tour, that he lost his opening act on the Billy Gibbons tour because of his pro-Trump Facebook post. And if that's the case, it's pretty sad.
And apparently the next show he was going to be on was in Atlanta, and he shows up at the gig, whatever the venue was in Atlanta, and that's when he finds out. They didn't even bother. I mean, I'm assuming he's not traveling with Gil.
But they
Billy
didn't
Gibbons.
Even call him. He had to show up in the city at the venue, and they say you're not opening tonight.
Probably shows up for sound check, and they're like, "You sound fine, and you're fired."
That's pretty sad if he lost his gig from wearing a Make America Great Again hat with an I voted sticker holding a Chick-fil-A sandwich and drink. That kind of stinks if that's the case. We should be beyond all of this. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. And boy, Alyssa Milano is making news again. And it's not because of her acting.
Well, it never was.
Now, stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for that and more here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans.
You know, as we get toward the end of the year, it's about that time where the year-end lists come out. There'll be like the dead celebrities, and there'll be various trends and whatnot throughout the course of the year that's gone by, 2018, about to just go by.
One that I always like at the end of every year,
uh-huh.
Words that became words this year.
Absolutely.
It's always
and
a good one.
I've got one from Collins Dictionary. They have published their editors, the words of the year of 2018, and you're thinking, well, this is going to be, I see where this is going. It's going to be pretty cut and dried. But the thing about this is, this list of about 8 or 10 words, these are words that exist already. But to Collins Dictionary, they are the words of the year of 2018 because they have taken on completely new meanings. For example, here's one that we've heard quite a bit, the hashtag Me Too, coming from the, starting with the
Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein.
That's Frankenstein.
I'm so tired of hearing of him, I forgot his name.
Hmm.
So the hashtag Me Too, denoting a cultural movement that seeks to expose and eradicate predatory sexual behavior, especially in the workplace. So that's pretty cut and dried. But here's one. They have added for 2018 the word backstop. Now, you could use backstop as something that you would put behind at a baseball field. That would be the backstop, something to catch the thrown
sure,
pitch.
Sure, behind home plate.
Behind home plate. Yeah. You could actually, some catchers have been referred to as human backstops.
Mm-hmm.
Backstop in 2018 has come to be known as a system that will come into effect if no other arrangement is made. So it's like a new meaning to that word that has become so prominent that you could add that to the list of meanings of that particular word. Now, I don't know. I can't think of one in particular. That's not something that's caught on with me anyway, but Collins Dictionary thinks that it's big enough.
So if let me try to use that
sure.
The way that they're saying. Last night, I went out for a little while. I was supposed to go out with one friend. But at the last minute, he couldn't make it. So I ended up going out with another friend.
No, that's called a mercy. Well, no.
Would that second friend, would he be my backstop?
That'd be your backstop.
Okay.
Here's one. Now, this comes from a movie that I know back in the 40s with, I think, Ingrid Bergman, Gaslight. To attempt to manipulate a person by continually presenting them with false information until they doubt their sanity. It's kind of like what I'm trying to do to you through the course of this show. Vegan. Now, everybody knows what vegan is.
Thought I did.
It says a person who refrains from using any animal product, whatever, for food, clothing, or any other purpose. According to Collins Dictionary, that is one of the words, and I didn't say new words necessarily, but just the words of 2018. Whitewash. You could say whitewash a fence, or you might whitewash a barn or something like that. But the verb to whitewash can now mean to cast a white actor in the role of a character from a minority ethnic group, or produce a film or play using white actors to play characters from a minority ethnic group. We've heard that, to where the complaints are that they're hiring white actors to play black actors. Why not hire black actors to play black actors? That is the verb to whitewash.
And as we sit here in the year 2018, white people like you and me, Brewster, we're at fault for pretty much everything. And we've pretty much the reason why there's so much hatred in this country, and we all suck.
The dance in which people twist their hips in one direction while swinging their arms with their fists closed in the opposite direction. You know what that's called?
No.
You see that a lot on social media, and I'm trying to do it right now, and it's hurting my lower back.
Those are good moves.
That's the floss. That's the floss dance. Now, that's kind of a variation on Pee Wee Herman doing the tequila dance, but that would be with not alternating your arms in front and back. No, whatever. Single use, made to be used once only, commonly referring to disposable plastic items such as straws and plastic bottles.
Condoms.
Well, you would hope single use would, you went there. And finally, I think I have two more. Plogging, PLOGGING. A recreational activity originating in Sweden that combines jogging with picking up litter. And that is from the common word jogging, and then plocka, which is Swedish for to pick.
Well, so, you know Osterlund is of Swedish descent. It's a Swedish name.
I thought you would. Do you do this on your time off?
No, but
do you run around picking up trash while you're jogging?
After this show, I'm going to call some of my long-lost relatives over there and see if they're ploggers.
And finally, a gammon, G-A-M-M-O-N, a person typically middle-aged and white with reactionary views, especially one who supports the withdrawal of Britain from the European Union. Oh, you damn gammon. And there you go, Collins Dictionary's words for 2018.
How about that? And if you listen to this show, you know you've heard me say before, it's fun when we can learn something on this radio show, and I don't know exactly what we just learned, but we learned something about words. You know what's interesting about that neighborhood where Hollywood Boulevard is? Right down the street from there's the Capitol Records Tower. Mm. Back in the day, that used to be a really nice area. And when I say back in the day, I'm talking about the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. And then it started going downhill. And I remember when I was the music director of the radio station in Boston that I used to work for, when I was out in Los Angeles, we went and visited some of the executives at the top of the Capitol Records building. And he told me, he said, I got to send my kids several miles away from here to go to school. He goes, the neighborhood around Hollywood Boulevard where the Chinese theater, he goes, it has gotten so bad. It's scummy. It's horrible. It's cheap. Well, that was in the 90s. Fast forward to now, it's nice again. Isn't it something how neighborhoods go from being nice to being crappy to being nice again?
Yep.
And it's like that in that one particular neighborhood out there in Hollywood. Well, that's just about going to do it for us. Thanks so much for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. Have a great, safe weekend. We'll chat again Monday morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.